focus, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the name that is above every name. A name you've given us that gives us power and strength and protection. A name that causes demons to tremble at the mention of it. The name that is a strong tower, that we may run to it and be saved. Father, we thank you right now for this day, this time, for this hour. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence and your peace. Thank you for your power that's with us, Lord, today. Father, we ask that you touch every person that's under the sound of my voice, and that you would guide them and teach them your ways. Father, we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would give them peace and that you'd give them the joy of the Lord, that we might be strengthened through our journey. Father, I also ask that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith. The word that brings healing, the word of God that brings deliverance, power, and peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you've given us the word of God to sustain and strengthen us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us what belongs to you. But you've given us the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, the blood of Jesus as compensation. The blood of Jesus, Lord God, that cures us, that cleanses us, that connects us, that covers us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you looked over the celestial banners of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all your good doings in our life. We thank you. And Father, after you've done all you want to do in this service, after you've healed, delivered, and set free, after you bless your people, after you've spoken to us and lifted us up to the places you want us to be encouraged, Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and we would honor you by obeying you, Father. And we would join in, Lord, with the many-winged seraphim, the many-winged cherubim, the many-eyed cherubim, and the many-winged seraphim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to use for a thought this morning, a title, a tag. When Jesus comes to your house. Subtitle, the power of his touch. Amen. The power of his touch. He handles us in what the word deliverance or the word escape from something in the Hebrew, it means to be rubbed smooth from being handled by God. I'm so smooth that the devil can't hold on to me because I've been handled by God. No, I'm just gonna talk today. So we must humble ourselves. The Bible says we must humble ourselves under the what? Mighty hand of God, and he will what? Exalt us in due time. The problem is that we don't want to humble ourselves. But sometimes God puts us in an humbled position that we might change, or that he might change the direction in which we are going. Amen? Let's look at part B of that 15 verse. It says, and she arose. He said the fever what? Left her. He didn't look. He didn't call for a bunch of people to come, and he, you know, he didn't even bring no oil, because he was the anointing. He was the anointing. So he didn't. You know how we got to call people. We got to get some oil. We got to find some scriptures. Jesus said, "Look, I got this. When he's in the house, you don't have to do no formalities. When it's serious business and he's there, you don't have to do all of that. All you have to do is believe." This woman was laying there on her bed, and all he did was just touch the hand. He didn't say, "Fever, leave." He didn't say, "Devil, you got to let her go." He didn't holler and scream and spit, none of that. All he did was touch her. What I'm trying to say is that God does not always have to show dramatics in order to do something in your life. You may be sitting there and you ain't have to come to the altar. You ain't fall out on the floor. Ain't nobody covered you with no kind of throw or nothing. You may just be sitting there and God is doing something in you while you yet sit. We got to quit focusing on the dramatics. We got to quit thinking that the holiest person in the church is the one that's shouting, run up and down the church. That's the one that's trying to shout out their sin sometimes. You got to come on and say, man, I'm not saying that every time, but sometimes that's the person that's just saying, thank you, Lord, that I didn't die doing what I did last night. But we got to understand that sometimes it's not in the dramatics. It's not always in the dramatics. It does not mean that God have to act out some script so that we might believe. But God said, blessed are those that have not seen and what? Believe. If I don't see no action, if I don't see nothing happening, I know within my heart that I'm saved. You know what? It don't have to be some miraculous thing to save me. I don't have to be knocked off my horse or my beast like Paul. But all I need to do is see the light of his word and understand what he's done for me. And I have salvation. And so if nothing else happen, I know without a shadow of doubt that I'm saved. I may not know about anybody else in this room today, but I know one person in the room is saved, and that's me. And you should be the same way. And it didn't have to be a dramatic. All I needed to do was confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and there it is, I'm saved. Hallelujah. So the touch of God, when he extends his hand to touch us, it empowers us. It empowers us. But notice what happened. The touch of the Savior, look at what it did. It transformed her into service. Some of us are sick with obsessions. Oh, come on and say amen. And we do other things. Some of us are sick with laziness. We are sick with complaining. We are sick with fear and sick with doubt and sick with gossip. Preach. Sick with rebellion, sick with unforgiveness and bitterness. We're sick with hatred. God wants to touch us and he wants to transform us into a servant. We're so sick that we don't realize how sick we are. You know what? I hate to hear when people are sick and they try to avoid the doctor. Lord, help me today. We got people that do the same thing when it comes to God. Know we need him to heal us. Know we need him to change us. And we try to avoid that with God. We try to avoid the conversation because we don't want to take those pills. What pills? The gospel pills. We don't want to take what he's given us. Come on and say hallelujah. We are trying to avoid what he wants us to do. And so in order for us to remain, in order for us to have eternal life, we have to go to the greatest healer that can heal us of our sin-sick souls. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to transform us into a servant. And you know, when we serve the Lord, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that when he saved me and he called me to be a servant, I realized that I didn't have to be like some of the other servants that I saw, because so many of the other ones that I saw, they were always frowning and fussing. They were always sending people to hell and talking about how bad, oh, you're going to bust it. Oh, you're going to bust hell wide open. Yeah, I'm so glad that God made me glad to serve him. The Bible even declares to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know what? I may not be the best singer, but I'm not afraid to sing because I'm going to serve the Lord. When I think about coming before the Lord with gladness and serving him and with gladness and coming before him with singing, I think about my own mother, how on Saturday morning she would wake up and she would be singing, and that's how I would wake up in the morning, because I'd smell what she was cooking and I would hear her singing songs. I wish I had somebody. That's what you call good service. How many of you want a waiter or a waitress that got an attitude, that don't really want to serve you? They mad all the time. They come, they throw your stuff on the table. They go back. They don't ask you, do you need anything else? They forget all about you. Now what that tip going to look like at the end of that service? You probably going to get up and say, you know what, the manager, I didn't get my glass refilled. My food came out cold. You're going to be upset and you're not going to want to pay for that. And so if you don't want bad service, why do we offer bad service to God? Why don't we come on and say amen? Some of us look like we've been sucking on lemons half the time, look like we've been baptized in pickle juice, and look like we got something on our mind that we just can't smile. We ain't never got an upbeat. We ain't never have no joy. How in the world could you serve the Lord and you don't have joy? Because the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. We got to learn how to be happy. We got to be the people that make our joy contagious to other folks. And sometimes they need They don't don't need you to come with a long face and say, yeah, you know, you're right. I don't know what to do. I know what to do. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to pray. It's time to lift him up. Because if anybody can do something about this situation, the Lord can do it. I have no doubt about it. I know that he can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Preach. We got to get to a point that we need God to transform us. Be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. God has to change our mind. How does he change it? He changes it by the word. What we get in our mind, God begins to what? Change us. Hallelujah. He begins to change us. And when God begins to change us, we are not going to remain the same. We're not going to be the same old fickle person we used to be. We're not going to be the same old fussing person that we used to be, the same hateful person, the same unforgiving, bitter person. If you that same person year after year, then you haven't been touched in a long time. Today you need to say, Lord, touch me. Lord, get this stuff out of my heart. You know God can't hear you when you got stuff in your heart. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, God can't hear your prayers. So you might as well say, Lord, touch me and get me some healing. God, remove this root of bitterness from me, because you know the Bible even says that bitterness is as a what? Root. And since bitterness is as a root, we need it to be removed so that our heart will be filled with the love of God. Oh, come on and say amen here. Y'all making it pretty hard to preach this morning. It's all right. I can handle that. But when we look at this, let's go on a little further and we'll be through. It says in verse number 15 that she ministered unto them. She didn't stop and talk about her fever. Notice that she got up immediately. We would say, you know what? I don't know if I'm fully recovered. But she got up. If you ever had a fever, you don't get up and do nothing immediately. You don't even eat immediately. You lay there because your body has now taken a beating with this fever and you've been battling and you feel weak. But look how God gave her strength. But he didn't give her strength to sit up and talk about how the fever just about took her out and how busy the devil was in her life. You don't hear that? What you see is that she got up and she started doing something for people. When God heals us, when God touches us, he expects us to do stuff for others. He expects us to serve. If you can't serve people, then you can't really be saved. Because God saves you to serve. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm almost done. Gus might have to pull me out of this one. So when we look at this, we got to understand that God touches us to transform us into servants. He touched a murderer by the name of Moses. And Moses became a deliverer. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he touched a trickster by the name of Jacob. And Jacob became Israel. He touched a child by the name of Jeremiah and made him a great prophet. He touched a fearful man by the name of Gideon and made him a great military leader. He touched a cussing man by the name of Peter and made him a preaching man. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, he touched a persecutor by the name of Saul and turned him into the great apostle Paul. Do I have any witnesses? He touched a reluctant Jonah who didn't want to preach because of what the folks did to his ancestors. He didn't want them to be saved, but he touched a reluctant preacher who ended up in the having a submarine in the belly of a fish. Come on and say, man. But he touched him and made him a prophet of 9 words that changed the city. He touched a timid shepherd by the name of Amos and made him a prophet. Do I have any witnesses? We need to see that God can touch anybody. God can move on anybody. So no matter what you are, who you are, what you've done, God can touch you and he can change your life. Do I have a witness? We need to understand that God looks to change us because he wants to make us great. There's no way that you can just be good with God. God said that said when he created man, it was what? Very good. That means it's better than good. And so when you got God with you, you're better than just good. You become something great. You become something that the world is glad to see, because the Bible even tells us in Romans 8 that the whole creation travailed and they waited on the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, everything in creation is waiting to exhale. Everything in creation is waiting to say, whoo, I'm so glad that you answered the call, the high call. Come on and say amen. But in order to answer the high call, we got to understand that we got to forget those things which are behind us and reach to those things which are before us and press toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is within us in Christ Jesus. Do I have anybody here? And when I look at verse number 17, it says, verse number 16, it says that when even was come, he brought unto him many that were possessed of the devil, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. And when we look at this, we got to understand that he cast out devils and he healed their diseases. There's two reasons why a person has an issue. If you have an issue or disease, something that diseases you, you got to understand that it can be demonic or it can just be a disease, something that you might, infirmity that you might encounter. And so what Jesus did, he said, I'm going to take care of it all. I'm going to take away, come on and say amen. He took away the devil from their life and he took away all of their diseases. Amen. And so he called all of them in the evening time. The people gathered around and he began to heal everybody. You know, can you imagine? It wasn't nobody sick in the city. And you know why? All because of one person who had a relationship with God. And I want you to see something here. If we can get our relationship right with God, we ought to be able to get to a point to have faith that God can heal everybody, that God can deliver everybody, that God can save everybody. You ought not ever say that they ain't gonna ever be saved. God saved you. I was a wretch undone, and God turned around and he saved me. Do I have a witness here? We got to get to a place in life that we realize that if I can just get a relationship with God, then my friend might get saved. My family might get delivered. Oh, come on and say amen here. We need to get that boss of ours saved. So let me up and get my relationship with God right, because the devil working through him every week. I wish I had somebody here that said, I'm with you, preacher, because my boss do act like the devil sometime, but I'm going to be so saved. I'm going to have such a relationship with God that he's not going to be able to remain the way he is. Come on and shout hallelujah and give God some praise in here. He said that it might be fulfilled. Look at verse number 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself that he took our infirmities and he bare our sickness. What is he saying here? He's saying that Jehovah, he said that he saved us. He took our infirmities. He took our griefs away. In other words, every sickness that we have, he decided that you don't need that. Come on and say amen here. Sometime we need to let God decide what we need in our life, because he'll say, you don't need that sickness. He took away our sorrows. What the word sorrow really mean is pains. He took away our anguish. He took away the things that caused us grief. He said, you know, I know you have some grief. I know some things give you down in the dumps, but I'm willing to take that away too. The scripture say he'll wipe away all our tears. Come on and shout hallelujah. It said that he'd take away our infirmities. He takes away our bruise. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Do I have anybody that say I'm healed today? Because of what Jesus did. When he said he was bruised for my iniquity. The word bruised is the word dankov. It means broken pieces. It means to be beaten. It means to have a wound under the skin. It's some things that just got under my skin. Some things that wounded me under the surface. Some things that causes the blood not to flow like it should underneath. Oh, come on and say amen. So what is the blood? The blood is life. Something that got in my life that caused me to have an issue. He said that he was wounded for our transgressions, but he was bruised for the stuff under the surface. I got some stuff down on the inside. I got some lies and stuff I've told. I got some hidden sin down there. I got some animosity in my heart. I got some stuff under the surface. And God said Jesus died just for that. Do I have any witnesses here? Oh, come on and shout glory. It's an internal wound, but the chastisement of our peace, they were laid upon him. In other words, in order for me to have peace, his peace was disturbed. He had to take up an old rugged cross. I wish I had a few people here that understand that his payment was for our peace. His payment was the pacifier for the things that we had done. Come on, shout glory in here. And so when he died, when he took up an old rugged cross, he said, I'm paying the complete price. The bill is paid in full. Oh, come on and shout glory in here. You see, some of us think that we can pay it. They think that we can do by merit, that we can become greater, that we can be more important in the kingdom of God than somebody else because I prayed more, because I read more, because I fasted more. That don't make you greater. You still get your crown. But what it does, it builds your relationship. Do I have any witnesses here? Come on and shout glory. But the Bible says that Jesus took up a cross, and the cross was your and my sin, but he died on that cross. But you know, he didn't have to die. He said, no man take my life, but I will lay it down for my friends. If you're a friend of God, he decided a long time ago, before you were even born. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, before I was even born, he died for my ungodliness. He died for the wrong I did. He died for the sin I was to commit. So I'm so glad today that it wasn't you that died for me. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. I'm so glad today that I didn't have to depend on somebody else to take away my sin. You don't have to depend on me because I might sleep too late. Oh, come on and say amen. I might not show up. I might get too busy. But glory be to God. Jesus is on the main line. We need to understand today that when he died on the cross, it wasn't just a death. It was a redemption. It wasn't just a death. It was salvation. It was liberating. Do I have any witnesses here? That's why he didn't say a mumbling word. He looked down off the cross and saw those that persecuted him and said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't understand what they were doing, but they were helping us get salvation. You can't be mad at the soldier that pierced him in the side. And the soldier realized when he touched him in the side, that soldier said, surely, he began to preach the word. He said, surely, this is the Son of God. Do I have any witnesses? Have anybody in here ever touched God and said, surely, do I have anybody? But he didn't stay dead. The Bible said he went down to hell and he took captivity captive and he came back to the grave and the earth said, I can't hold him because I'm only able to hold stuff that is not alive. But this the same one that created me, the same word that caused me to be, had no right to hold him down. And so the earth began to quake. And the rock was rolled away, and the rock of ages rose from the dead. And he said, I have all power. I wish I had somebody that said, I know about this power, because one day when he touched my body, I felt the healing power of God, and my soul that was sick has now been washed whiter than snow. Do I have any witnesses? Anybody out there say, I just want a touch from God? Well, let's borrow something from Thomas. Thomas said, Peter, I don't believe you. I don't believe that he rose, because I know you a liar, because you lied by the barrel when you was up warming your hands at the fire and said you didn't know Jesus. Jesus. So I don't believe what you're saying, except I can touch him. If I can put my fingers in his hands and put my finger in his side. Wasn't long after that, Jesus came through the wall. He didn't have to open up the door. You see, God doesn't have to open the door. You don't have to open the door. God can just come right in. All you have to do is say, come into me. Do I have anybody? And when Thomas saw that, he said, Thomas, look at my hands and you can see the scars. Look at my side. You can see the scars. You see, the thing I love about that text is that he talked about his scars and he didn't talk about his sores. Too many of us are still sore. We're sore about what somebody said. We're sore about what happened to us. And if you touch us in that spot, we're going to let you know. Don't step on my sore toe. Don't touch my sore body. You'll push somebody away when you're sore. But when you got scars, that means that you're healed. And I've been touched by the hand. And so I've been healed. So you can see my scars. So now what are the scars? The scars are my testimony that I've been through the crucifixion. I've been through hell. I've been through the grave. But now I'm arose with all power. Do I have anybody? Boy, y'all saying, y'all making it hard. Come on and shout yes. Won't God give you peace in the midst of your storm? Won't God heal your body when you get sick? Won't God make a way where there seem to be no way? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? I'm going to preach to this side over here. Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes here. I got some times in my life that all I can say, but God. And won't God do it? And you know what I mean. That means God done something for me. Whenever it seemed like I'm out, seemed like the devil about to get hold of me, seemed like he about to knock me out, I say, but God. And won't he, won't he? Won't he make a way for me? Won't he open up doors for me? Won't he heal my body? Won't he pick me up and turn me all around? Come on and shout yes here. Oh, come on and give God praise. Do y'all want to join in the message this morning? Do you believe that he'll do it? Do you believe he'll fix your life no matter how bad it gets? I want you to know that God will and that God can. You need to let God do it today. I wish I had a few people that would just cast your cares on him because he cared for you. What does that mean, preacher? That means when I let it go, God will provide a way for me. When I let it go, then God will see it through. When I let it go, he promised me in his word that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. He promised me in his word that many are the afflictions. I don't know about you, but I've been afflicted in my life, but I found out that he'll deliver me from them all. When I look at the word deliver in that same text, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. It means to be snatched out by reflex. In other words, when God sees you in your trouble, when it looks like you're about to drown, he snatches you out by reflex. That's what God does. That's who God is. That's how God's built, to snatch you out of trouble. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been lifted because love lifted me? Now won't God do it? Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't know what you're going through, but won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Yes, he will. Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I just want to shout and I want to praise him because he's been good to me. He's brought me from a mighty long way. This is my testimony. I'm through preaching now. He's opened doors for me. He healed me when I was sick. He saved me when I needed saving. He blessed me when I needed blessing. He gave me stuff that I never even asked him for. That's how good God is. God sees what you need, and he blesses your life. You just be patient with God. Or come on and say yes. I wish I had some people today that say, I know he's all right. I've tried him, and I know that he's able. Would you help me right quick? Grab your neighbor by the hand. I need you to help me preach this message. And closing, we can go home. Shake your neighbor's hand. Wake them up in here. They slept for the last 30 minutes. Say, neighbor, it's time to wake up and invite Jesus into your life. Because when he come in your life, he'll heal your body. He'll save your soul. He'll give you peace. He'll give